Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Danny Meyer, the native St. Louisan, has largely made his mark in the restaurant business elsewhere with a number of highly popular restaurants and innovative ideas for the food service industry. But probably his most popular and best-known contribution is Shake Shack. And now, and some would say finally, Danny Meyer is bringing Shake Shack home to St. Louis, adding to the scores of them around the country and overseas. The grand opening here is scheduled for a week from today in the Central West End. We welcome Danny Meyer. Danny, a great pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Don. I cannot begin to tell you how excited all of us at Shake Shack are to finally bring Shake Shack home to St. Louis.
What's taken you so long?
Well, I don't think we were quite ready for prime time. We had to, you know, my mom lives in St. Louis, and I wanted to make sure it was good enough so that she didn't have to pick up the phone all day hearing complaints from her friends.
Oh, come on. Come on. What makes your place different, Danny?
You know, it's a really good question. We've been trying to ask ourselves that for a long time. Obviously, we did not invent any of the component parts that are in Shake Shack, whether it's the burgers or the fries or the frozen custard or the wine, the beer, even the shroom burger. But I think it's just hit a nerve with people that if you take food that people know and you just kind of up it a little bit qualitatively without charging correspondingly the same kind of price people would expect to pay for that in a fine dining restaurant, people really seem to react to that. So, you know, we think that with the first Shake Shack, which was the only Shake Shack we had for the first 5 years in Madison Square Park, New York, we said to ourselves, probably the reason this works is because people like gathering in a park, and maybe today's parks are what the parking lots were when I was growing up in St. Louis. You know, it's a place for people to gather. So it is that for sure. But then we found, you know, we can't open Shake Shack in only parks because there's just not enough parks that want to have a Shake Shack in them. So let's find out what else is it that people like about it. And we kind of hit upon this category that we think Shake Shack occupies. Our pedigree is really the fine dining world with places like Union Square Cafe and Gramercy Tavern and the Modern at the Museum of Modern Art and Maialino, Blue Smoke, fine dining restaurants. And we said, well, what if we source our food exactly as we do in those multi-starred restaurants? Or what if we hire people to work there the exact same way we do? What if we relate to our community the exact same way we do? What if we have the same culinary techniques that we have in the fine dining restaurants? But what if we present that whole package in a way that makes it really, really easy for people to go there? And somehow in that whole exchange, I think Shake Shack represents really, really good dining value as long as you're willing to do away with the waiter, waitress reservation and, you know, pastry chef and sommelier and all that other kind of stuff.
Nonetheless, it seems to me that there'd have to be kind of a high risk to starting something like this, given the fact that that's a pretty crowded field. I mean, when you're talking hamburgers and shakes and fries and that sort of thing, a lot of places do just that.
Yeah, that's a great point. There's two ways to look at that, Don. One is, unlike, you know, say a brand new concept that no one's ever heard of. There was one that opened here in New York. I think it was a West Coast import that was sort of a Horn and Hard Arts version of bowls of quinoa. Or, you know, a few years ago, we had a big craze with cupcakes. Or a few years ago, there's a big craze with frozen yogurt. So unlike those kind of things where people are going, is the concept itself something that has legs? Or is the category itself something that has legs? I think here, you're right, we do have a product that we certainly didn't invent any of this stuff. I mean, we have great hot dogs at Shake Shack. Last time I checked, they were invented in 1904 in St. Louis. So we didn't invent any of this stuff. The question is, it gets back to this fantastic quote that is really one of our mantras. I learned this from the governor of Colorado back when he was mayor of Denver, a guy named John Hickenlooper, who got his start as as the owner of a craft brewery in Denver. And he came to Shake Shack about a year after we opened, because he was thinking about doing something for this park in Denver. And the line was, you know, probably 60 people long. And he looked at me and he asked me the same question you just did. He said, "What's going on here?" And I said, I honestly don't know. And he took a bite of the Shack burger. He got a big smile on his face. And he told me something I've never forgotten to this day. It was a lesson he learned from his English professor at Wesleyan University. And he said, "You know what? Everything has already been said, but not everything has been said superbly. And even if it had been, everything must be said freshly over and over again." And I think that's the way it is with the menu at Shake Shack. And, you know, if this was a pizza place, I would say the same thing of that. You've had pizza before. You could say the field is crowded, but that doesn't mean that there's not something fresh to be said about it. And it also doesn't mean that you can't use every single day to try to make it a little bit better.
Well,
sorry for the siren. I just wanted to prove that we're actually here in New York right now.
It sounds like it might be pretty close. Duck. You know, save that Hickenlooper quote, because there's a lot of talk about him running for president in 2020, and he's got a pretty good following already, so hang on to that. You still there?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I'm still here. I was trying to mute out that sound so your listeners didn't have to hear what we're hearing in New York right now.
Danny, let me, you know, you talk about the local themes and playing to the local constituencies where you are. How does that translate in places like Riyadh and Saudi Arabia and Tokyo, for instance? I mean, such totally different cultures and in every way, certainly in the food that they like and eat.
Well, that's a great question. We have what we call the 80-20 rule at Shake Shack, and 80% of Shake Shack's menu and design is going to be consistent no matter where in the world you get it. 20%, we really hope to localize as much as possible, both on the menu and in terms of the design. We want people to feel like this is my Shake Shack. And in order to do that, we have to be sensitive and excited about other people's cultures. You gave an example of Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. That's a Shake Shack I've never been to in the world. I may never go there. And I asked some tough questions before we went there, which is, how can we be a company that is incredibly inclusive in terms of who works there, in terms of who dines there, and then open a Shake Shack that actually has two separate doors, one for men and one for women, and one for families. And the answer we arrived at was that in the same way that we will come to St. Louis and hopefully be not only sensitive to, but humble enough to appreciate that the culture of St. Louis is somewhat different than the culture of even Milwaukee, which is not that far away, where we'll be opening this week as well. We've got to do the exact same thing if we go to Saudi Arabia and say, who are we to impose our culture? We can still treat our staff members the way we always treat our staff members at Shake Shack, but we don't necessarily have a monopoly on imposing our basic culture of life. That said, if you go to Shake Shack in Dubai or Qatar or Bahrain or Abu Dhabi, where I have been, you're going to find that the Shack burger is exactly the same flavor as it would be in St. Louis or in New York City. And we don't monkey around with that 80% of the menu. On the other hand, when we go to Istanbul, in addition to having a Chicago-style hot dog, we also have a Turkish sausage called kaçuk. We also, in London, have a Cumberland sausage from one of the best butchers in London. If you go to Shake Shack in Austin, Texas, you'll find that the Shack burger is topped with a smoked sausage from Lockhart, Texas, from Kreitz Market. And we really love using our food almost as a blank canvas for that extra 20%. So, for example, in St. Louis, the custard, the frozen custard, gives us an opportunity to work with several local artisans in St. Louis. We also can do the exact same thing with beer and work with local craft brewers. We can work with local coffee roasters and blend that into our custard as well. And we just really have had the best time doing all that we can with that 20% to make it feel like this is my Shake Shack, which is certainly not something you would see in the world of fast food.
In our next segment, we're going to be talking with a relatively new craft brewing operation, and they're specializing in non-alcoholic beer. They're homegrown, local couple. Any room for that, do you think, in the local Shake Shack?
Well, there could be. As a matter of fact, they reached out to us last week, and our guys are already waiting to get their samples right now. So that's a great example of what we like to do. And by the way, sometimes some of our best ideas that have been rolled out for the entire company started with something local. Here's an example. When we went to New Haven to open a Shake Shack a few years ago, with the 80-20 rule, the walls of the Shake Shack were made out of cast-aside bleacher seats from the original Yale Bowl. That was one thing. We didn't roll that out everywhere, but we came up with a special hot dog for that menu called the Handsome Dan, which is the nickname of the Bulldog, the Yale Bulldog. And it turned out, and it was our hot dog, but it was topped with fried shallots and cheese sauce. And that became so popular that we ended up rolling that out throughout the entire company. So you just never know. In St. Louis, one of the things we'll be introducing just for St. Louis is going to be called the Mountain City Double. And that is, we'll see if people like it or not. We'll find out. But it's a double cheeseburger, and of course, using Provel cheese and Nyman Ranch bacon. And then we're going to do a special sauce with it that kind of reminds me of some of the special sauces I grew up eating at the original, you know, whether it was Crown Candy Kitchen or whether it was the original Fitz's Root Beer Stand that I grew up going to on the corner of Brentwood and Clayton Road. Just, you know, paying homage. That's what we like to do when we go anywhere new. So we'll see how that one goes. And if it takes off in St. Louis, the Mound City Double, you just never know. That may find its way onto other menus.
Danny Meyer, I've got to take a break now. But is there any way you can arrange it so the St. Louis Public Radio listeners can go to the head of what I'm sure are going to be inevitable lines at your place?
Absolutely. All they have to do is register for free to get the Shake Shack app online, and it is the best secret that you skip the line. You just basically, once you have the app, you put in what time you want your food ready, and while everybody else is waiting in line, you just go pick up your food.
You've really got it together, Danny Meyer. Got to take that break now. We'll do that and come back. Some other things about your business I'd like to talk with you about, and we'll do that when we return. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. And now back to our conversation with restaurateur Danny Meyer. Danny, there are a couple of other local connections you have to the Shake Shack that's going to be opening here a week from today. One is, I understand some of the artwork has a significant St. Louis influence, and that some of the funds that you raise, some of your profits, are going to go to Forest Park Forever.
Right. So every single Shake Shack that opens is responsible. We actually make the management team responsible for reaching out to the community before we open and trying to identify a not-for-profit that can actually make a difference in the community. And the only real criteria we put on that is that they believe that the community itself will be better if we can help it. Number two, that our staff members and actually find opportunities to volunteer and do things with that not-for-profit. And then what we do is we pick one of our frozen custard concretes and we dedicate a portion of those sales to that particular not-for-profit. In this case, the team came back and they said, we really want to support Forest Park Forever. They had never encountered a park that was that beautiful. They thought that the end of the world stopped at Central Park in New York City, and boy, were they wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they really, you know, they very excited to support the Conservancy, the partners with the City of St. Louis to help restore and maintain Forest Park. And so the concrete that supports that is called the Pai Oh Mai. And interestingly, it's a frozen custard concrete into which we blend seasonal pies made by a local St. Louis company called Pai Oh Mai, which is based in Maplewood. And that's one of the things that our team has so much fun doing. They will spend generally 6 months before we open it in any city, anywhere, getting to know the chefs, the fine dining chefs, the top artisans of any type in that community, and then going to research and asking questions. Who do you buy your coffee from? Who do you buy your beer from? Who makes the best pastries, the best baked goods? In St. Louis, of course, one of the items that we knew we were going to have to have would be Ashkenazi dark chocolate. Now, I know that Sean Ashkenazi is not from St. Louis. He's from Columbia, but we wanted to put his I don't think I've ever had better artisanal chocolate in my life. And Columbia, Missouri was close enough, so we'll be blending his dark chocolate chunks into one of our concretes, along with chocolate chip cookies made by Winslow's Home. Those are good friends of ours as well. I also am really excited that we've got a special concrete called the Central West Blend, pretty bad pun, and that is going to include gooey butter cake, which, of course, we had to showcase somewhere in here. And the one that we really fell in love with amongst many was the one from Park Avenue Coffee. So that's another opportunity to work with St. Louis companies as we do this.
By the way, I have a tweet here from Jeff who says, "Oh, God, please don't let Shake Shack put Provel cheese on a burger." You might want to rethink that.
You know what, Jeff, I want to just let you know that I promise you that you can get the regular Shack burger just like everywhere else, but this will either work or it won't. And, you know, one of the fun things about trying things, and, you know, even at our size at Shake Shack, we're just constantly trying new things. If they work, it'll grow and we'll do it elsewhere. If it doesn't work, it'll 86 itself from the menu pretty quickly. So we'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes. Let's take a couple of calls, Dan, if you're okay with that.
Sure.
We'll start with Jerry calling from O'Fallon. Jerry, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. You and I are both about exactly the same age. I really enjoyed your book that I read a few years back, and I think it's an excellent, it really illustrates a lot of standards to make any kind of business successful, not just in the restaurant business. And I know all the publicity now is about Shake Shack, but a lot of people don't realize that you're probably one of the most successful restaurateurs in New York City, which is not a very easy town, as you probably well know, to open and sustain restaurants. But I also want to say that 40 years ago, I was working for Ozark Airlines, and we're big consumers of the Caesar Tours packages.
Oh.
Apparently, it was your parents' company.
That was
so I remember
dad.
Those very fondly.
Well, thank you. I remember Ozark Airlines very fondly as well, so thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome. Good luck.
And thank you for recognizing that long before I was known primarily for burgers, we've got a couple of good restaurants as well. So, thank you,
Danny. What sort of? I know you've done a lot of travel, and giving you what the company that was just mentioned, the travel company. As a young man, a lot of traveling. How much influence did that have on your work in the restaurant field?
I would say probably 120%. Because I think that taste memories, you know, certainly a lot of my own taste memories come from growing up in St. Louis, and Shake Shack absolutely encompasses a lot of that, as does our barbecue restaurant, Blue Smoke, by the way, where we started bringing Fitz's Root Beer to New York back in 2002, and we started making toasted ravioli with our own pulled pork at Blue Smoke. Where did I get that idea? From St. Louis. But I'd say that the privilege of having been able to travel quite a bit because of my dad's travel business and my family's interest in travel created so many taste memories. And you just would be surprised that they, those memories stick around, and it's almost like having a file cabinet. And every now and then you just say, you know what, now it's time to celebrate Rome, or now it's time to celebrate barbecue, or now it's time to celebrate St. Louis. Whatever it happens to be, I think you do yourself a disservice if you spend your entire time just eating in your own city, because things get to be rather me too pretty quickly.
What were your favorite places here in St. Louis to eat when you were growing up?
Well, when I was growing up, we honestly did not have an enormous number of great restaurants as there are today. But I will say that the hospitality that I felt was hugely, hugely impactful on everything we did at Union Square Cafe, which I opened when I was 27. But, you know, I remember as a kid, since you're asking, going to places like Schneidhorst and Chris's, sitting under the cuckoo clock and eating the chicken and dumplings. I remember, once every 5 years, my parents would take us to Tony's, which was a big treat. Loved going to the Hill, I loved eating that chopped salad with the cheese and the salami and the peppers. All the stuff you guys take for granted, because you eat it every day, just doesn't exist all over the place. And even though one of your listeners earlier was thumbing his nose at Provel cheese, I spent an awful lot of time at places like Emo's and Ferrato's. And, I loved growing up in St. Louis. I think it's a big part of why our restaurants in New York were able to succeed, because as good as the food was here, even in the 1980s, there was this air of exclusivity about eating good food in New York that I never, ever felt in St. Louis. And I think being able to add the warm welcome to really good food, I've got to credit St. Louis for that.
Let's take another call. We'll ask Sheila to join us. She's calling from Richmond Heights. Sheila, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Thank you so much for having this show. I hope you have Danny on lots more. My family's been in the food business since the 40s, and even Elvis used to come to our restaurant in Jackson, Tennessee. And so I love great food. Unfortunately, I've learned that through food you can also get very sick if you're not taking care of your good nutrition. And I've learned the hard way. My young son tragically died at 26 because he didn't know enough about nutrition. And I have three grandchildren here in St. Louis that I want them to be as healthy as possible. I'm working with Raymond Francis, who wrote Never Be Sick Again. And I would love a meeting with you, Danny. How could I get a meeting with you to talk with you about what I've learned in my whole life at a ripe age of 68, how we can make St. Louis much healthier? I see St. Louis as a real opportunity to make it the healthiest city in the world.
That's certainly a lofty goal, and I honor you for that. I'll be at the Shack during our opening next Monday, from about 11 o'clock in the morning on. And if you happen to be there, I hope you'll say hi. One thing I do want you to know is that I don't think there's anyone in their right mind that would say the wisest thing you could do is to have a milkshake every day of your life or a cheeseburger every day of your life. And I think that Shake Shack does not portray itself as being a health food store. That said, I think that when you do have a burger, you want it to be a good one. And I'm really, really proud that we source our beef very, very carefully. There are no growth hormones ever. There are no antibiotics ever. I think it's important to note that our chicken sandwich, which is out of this world, is made from cage-free chickens. And so we do take steps to say, let's be honest, it is an indulgence that, if you did it every single day of your life, absent exercise, I might add, that's probably not a great recipe for you. But I don't know a whole lot of people who want to live their lives without pleasure. And so when you do it, I think it's a good thing to do it where the pleasure and health quotient are as good as they can possibly be.
Dan, I would have to think that your business has changed in recent years because of that. There's been so much emphasis on proper nutrition and, you know, laying off the fats and that sort of thing. You've got to be on top of that week in and week out, don't you?
I think you're right, and that's part of the reason that we added chicken to our menu. I also think that we have a fantastic vegetarian option called the Shroom Burger that has been on our menu since we first opened. I absolutely love it. It's not your typical veggie burger made from grains and vegetables. It's mushrooms and yeah, there's cheese in it, so it's not vegan. But you're absolutely right, Don. We hear about it more and more and more. I do think it's important to state, though, also that Shake Shack is trying to be a modern-day version of a roadside burger and shake stand, basically going back to the days when, you know, I remember when I got my driver's license at 16 in St. Louis, we all headed to, you know, one place or another, Fitz's, Steak and Shake, Ted Drew's, Parkmore, Crown Candy Kitchen, but we basically were using the burger places and the, you know, the ice cream places. I remember when Swenson's came to Clayton, that was a big deal. We were using them as a way to express our independence and to be with people. I think, unfortunately, fast food hijacked that in a couple ways. The food got to be a heck of a lot less healthy, and it was no longer about people being with people. In fact, it was about get the people in and out as quickly as you can. Put in drive-through windows. Shake Shack is a gathering place for people. Eating good food a little bit more slowly with friends, I think, is actually part of what makes it a better experience for you, in addition to being a lot of fun and a lot of taste.
Danny Meyer, our time is winding down, but I did just want to get your comment with regard to the tipping in restaurants. You're an innovator in that field in New York. I guess it does not come into play at Shake Shack, but how is that working out, eliminating tipping?
I'll tell you what, Shake Shack was actually the progenitor of this, because I never like going to a place where there's a tip jar, and you'll never see a tip jar, you'll never see tipping at Shake Shack. And I had been thinking about this for quite a long time in our fine dining restaurants, and I said to myself, if we can make a profit and pay people above minimum wage in a place like Shake Shack without tips, why are we asking the public to subsidize our responsibility to pay our staff a living wage, both in the kitchen and in the dining room, by having tipping in restaurants? And so we have eliminated it in 10 of our restaurants so far. We're 2 years into it right now. And I will say that it's been incredibly challenging and yet incredibly gratifying. I think that the math is very, very difficult to get right, because the menu prices include everything. There's no further tipping on top of that. And so how do you not shock people with your menu prices and have more than enough money to properly pay and incentivize both your dining room staff and your kitchen staff, and I might add, pay for all of their health insurance, pay maternity and paternity leave, paid time off? And we're trying to do it all, and so far so good. Hard, but totally working.
Well, you've been at it for 2 years now, so it must be working okay if you can continue with that long. Gonna have to leave.
Out of business yet?
Dad, well, stay in business, Danny Meyer. Thank you so much for being with us. Good luck with the Shake Shack opening next Monday right here in St. Louis. Been a pleasure talking to you.
Cannot wait to see you all in St. Louis.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.